بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. وقال رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله تعالى يقبل توبة العبد ما لم يغرغر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. الحمد لله. Honorable علماء الكرام, respected elders and brothers, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending durood, salutations and greetings upon the greatest of creation, Muhammad bin Abdullah, Muhammad the son of Abdullah alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being that gave us life, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that controls this life of ours. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explains to us the reason behind our creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reason behind your creation is so you can understand your Creator. And when you've understood your Creator, then that will drive you, and that will be a reason for you being obedient to your Creator. All of us are like that. The human mind has been set like that. And the human mind has been created in such a way that you will only follow and be obedient to something that you understand. If you don't understand it, then what happens is you might do it, but you hesitate to do it, or you might not do it at all. So when we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created you so you can understand who I am. You can recognize who I am. And once you've recognized who I am, then your life will be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I said this last week in the other masjid, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set our lives in such a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for success. And the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to follow, if we are going to do, or we are going to follow that lifestyle, then we will be successful. Because we have to ask ourselves a question: where does success come from? Does success come from your business? Does success come from how much wealth you own? Does success come from your job, or from your family, your relatives, or from your parents, or your children? No, no, no. Success comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other day somebody said something amazing when explaining success. He says, how do we define success? You as a human being, how do we define success? Let alone talking about the next person, that person is successful. Ask yourself, am I a successful person? It's amazing, think about it. Am I a successful person? Ask yourself. Yes, I might drive a luxury car. Yes, I might stay in a comfortable home. Yes, I might own a thriving business. Yes, I might own many properties. Yes, I am comfortable when it comes to the world. But have you ever asked yourself, am I successful? Everybody else looks at you from the outside and says, wow, I wish I could be like that person, he's so successful. I wish I could be like that man. I wish I could be like that woman. They're so wealthy. I'm driving my normal Toyota and I see a person driving the latest vehicle, 2022 or 2023. And I look at that person and I look at his car and I say, oh, if only I could have a car like that. So from the outside, everybody looks at others as successful. He's a wealthy man, he's successful. But ask yourself, am I successful, me personally? How do I define success? So the scholar says, it's amazing. You want to define success in one word? It's happiness. Am I happy? If you are not happy, then you're not successful. No matter what you earn, no matter how much wealth you have, no matter what positions you hold, if you are not happy, you are not successful. If you are happy, even if you own nothing, you are successful. But happiness, we ask ourselves the question, where does happiness come from? Where will happiness come from? In which avenues do we search for that happiness? And it will lead us to one, only one creator, only one being, and that is Allah. Happiness is from Allah, sadness is from Allah, loss is from Allah, profit is from Allah. That is why you look at those people that are Allah conscious. They might be walking, but Allah, deep down they're happy. There's this pleasure, this sense of pleasure. Because they have Allah, they've pleased Allah. They've pleased that being in whose control happiness lies. They're happy with their children. They're happy with the small, it might be a small business, but they're happy. I tell you something, there are many, many people, even religious people that we consider to be religiously inclined, that from the inside are miserable, miserable. Every time, it's amazing, every time they look searching for success and happiness, it's either they can't find it, number one, or they find it in harming or hurting others. Amazing. Think about it. They either can't find that happiness, or number two, they find that happiness in trying to hurt others. It gives them that satisfaction. But they can't smile because there's no happiness. So I said this the other week, that we as believers, we believe that we have two lives, if you want to call it. I call it one life, but if you want to call it two lives, no problem. Where you have a dunyawi life, a worldly life, the life that we're all living down. And then we have an ukhrawi life, a life of the hereafter as we translate it in the English language. But the scholars say it's a continuation. The life of the hereafter is a continuation of this life. Yes, your eyes close. People consider you to be have passed away. That is why I say, don't say passed away. I always tell the people and I tell the kids in madrasa, say passed on. This person has passed on. From this world, he's been transferred. She's been transferred. They've been passed on. Now you get a parcel and you pass on that parcel. So you've been passed on to the hereafter. So we have these two lives that we all have to live. Number one is this worldly life, which Allah, I tell you, is temporary and the biggest deception. The biggest deception is this life. And I'm not saying it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to as ghurur, it's the biggest deception. Why is it the biggest deception? The world, let me tell you what happens is, the what your mind in this world tells you, that I am going to live and enjoy this for many more years. That's the deception. The biggest deception. The biggest deception is this is going to be mine forever. I am going to hold on this forever. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, deception is ghurur. And then you get the ukhrawi life. How are we going to be successful in this world? I mentioned one aspect just last week in the other masjid. You know, you want to be successful in this world. There is no success without honor and dignity. There is no success without honor and dignity. If you consider yourself successful because you have many people that love you and like you, but they like you because of what you have, then there is no honor and dignity. There is no respect for you. There is respect for what you have. The day is gone, they don't want to see you. They don't even want to entertain you. Ask many people, listen to me, listen to me. And a lot of people here sitting here will be able to relate to this. Including myself maybe. Is when you had nothing, the pockets were empty. You were staying in a rented house. You were working an 8-to-5 job maybe after, maybe over time, but you weren't getting paid for it. And you were struggling. How many friends did you have then? How many people came and wanted to greet you? How many people came and wanted to speak to you? And then when Allah opens the doors for you. Now you have a position. Maybe now you have a position. Now maybe you have wealth or you have a position. That's life. That's life. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, Al-mal ghadin warah. Wealth, you know what? It comes and it goes. And in the explanation of this, in the explanation of these words of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, the scholars say, wealth is transferred. Today you don't have, tomorrow you have. Today you had, tomorrow you don't have. But ask yourself a question, how many friends did I have before I had? And today because I have, how many friends do I have? Everybody wants to greet me. Everybody wants to talk to me. Everybody wants to shake my hand. Everybody is asking about my family. When wallah, before you had, they never cared about your family. Your son would be walking on the road, they wouldn't stop. Ask me, you know what I always say this, let us not live a fictional life. Let us live a life of reality. They didn't even care if they walked past your son. But today you have wealth, they want to greet your son also. How's your papa? How are you? Everything okay? How's your daddy? How's school? Wallah, that is not respect. That is honor. That is not honor. And that is not dignity. You are in a deception. Because they respect your wealth, they don't respect you. So I said this last week in the other masjid, that the first stage of success in this world is when people will respect you for who you are, not for what you have. Then anyway, number two, I said it last week and I had no time to end it off in the other masjid, is success in the hereafter. Success in the hereafter is with something that we should all yearn for. Something that we should all desire. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said an amazing thing. He said an amazing thing. He said, many people, majhulun fi dunya wa ma'rufun fi sama. Many people, nobody knows about them in this world. Nobody cares about them. Nobody even has any concern about them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is boasting to the angels about them. Wa kathirun min an-nas, and many people, ma'rufun fi dunya wa majhulun fi sama. Everybody knows them in the world. Everybody respects them, and everybody, and as I said, not respects them, respects what they have. Or they respect the benefit that they're going to get from you. Many people in this world recognized, famous. But Allah, in the sight of Allah, in the court of Allah, Allah Ta'ala is telling the angels, I don't even recognize that person. That is why I always say, you want to be successful up there when the day you die? You want to be successful in your grave? We make dua for you after we bury you. We make dua for you. That's the least we can do for you. Everything else is about you. Everything else is about your actions. That is why I always say this. Wallah, we talk about business. And we want to ask these deep, deep masalas about business and questions about business. We talk about families and we want to go into counseling. And we want to go to these people to get assistance, therapy. It comes down to one thing and one thing alone. And many people say that alim, you know what, he said something that we always hear about. That is where it starts from. That is where it starts from. You will be conscious in your business when you realize that one day I'm also going to be buried here. You will be conscious when it comes to your behavior with your spouse and your children when you realize that one day I'm going there. That's where I'm going. The scholar only talks about death. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثِرُ هَذِ مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, constantly talk about death. Why? When you realize that one day I'm going to die. And when I'm going to die, it could be now. It could be any time. There's no tomorrow. There's no the next hour. Then you will realize, oh, I need to be obedient to Allah. I have to be obedient to Allah. Before I open my mouth, This could be the last words I'm ever going to say. Before I open my mouth, this is going to be the last words that I'm ever going to say. Let me ensure that what I say is correct. And according to the instructions of Allah. Before I'm on that radio, or before I want to listen to someone, let me tell myself, this is the last thing I could ever hear or could ever listen to. Before you take your fingers and you put on that cell phone, we love it, we love it. I always say this, that we have so much time for something that will not benefit us, in fact will harm us. We've got so much time for that, when we don't have time even for the bare basics. That is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Akthiru dhikri hadhihi al-ladhat yani al-maut." Think about death. You want to be successful there. When you want to be successful there, how am I going to be successful? How am I going to be successful? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amazing, and I'm going to say this, we all make mistakes. We all human. We all going to make mistakes. And we will continue making mistakes as long as we live in this imperfect world. When we live in an imperfect world, we're not perfect. That is why we're searching for perfection in others. And when we don't find that perfection, we backbite. When we don't find what that perfection, and sometimes it's lies. But we find this joy in the pain of others. There's a famous English saying, he says, we rise by lifting others. We rise by lifting others. And the other day when I was reading this, I heard somebody say this, and I was thinking, from an Islamic perspective, does this make sense? And then I came across a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you make dua for your fellow brother bi dahril ghayb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, malakan mu'akkil, Allah ta'ala appoints one angel that will stand by you, and you'll say, walaka mislu dhalik, for you make the same also. You're making dua for somebody else. Allah ta'ala is saying, for you also, let you also have the same thing that you're making dua for that person. The same benefit. So, you know, we're all going to err. We're all going to make mistakes. And if we want to be successful the day we die, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, constantly seek the forgiveness of Allah. Be remorseful. Be remorseful over your sins, over your wrongs, over your shortcomings. And I said this a few months ago, I think, wallah, the worst thing that you can ever do is try and justify a wrong that you have done. Never ever try and justify something wrong that you have done. Put your hand up and acknowledge. Don't acknowledge it to the people, acknowledge it to Allah. The other day I was thinking about it, and wallah, you know, something came in my mind. I come on a radio program, Radio Islam, every Sunday evening, and I said it to the host, you know, and he sent me a private message later. He said, this is absolutely makes sense. I said, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. You know, when you plead guilty, you've been accused of a crime, or you've been accused of wrongdoing, you go to court, and you admission of guilt, or you plead guilty. What happens? I'm talking about the court in this world. What happens? You will be punished, but the punishment will be made lighter because you've admitted your guilt. But you'll be punished still. You still, if you bump somebody's car and you admit, you still have to pay for that car. So the only thing you'll save yourself, if I'm going to court, no, I admit, I'm going to pay for your vehicle. But the moment you admit, you're still going to be punished. Allah is so merciful, wallah. In solitude, alone, you and Allah admit that you are guilty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know what? I will forgive you, wala ubali, and I will not even care about it. Not only that, and the reason I'm saying this, wallah, sometimes many of us, we seek forgiveness sincerely from Allah, remorseful. Allah Ta'ala forgives us. Allah Ta'ala is happy with us, yet the people of the world still talk bad about us. You know, it's amazing, and I'm going to end off with this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَمَثَلُ الْإِيمَانِ. I'm going to say it in Arabic, because those who understand the Arabic language will appreciate this hadith. He says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَمَثَلُ الْإِيمَانِ. The example of a believer, and the example of the belief that this believer has, the hope that this believer has in Allah. He says, كَمَثَلِ الْفَرَسِ. It is like a horse. فِي أَخِيَتِهِ. That has been tied. The scholars say, what they do is they take a pole or a peg and they put it in the ground. They take a rope, they tie it to that peg, and then they tie it to the horse. And the horse is free to go only to a certain extent. Only to a certain extent it has to return. It has to come back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is the example of a believer, and this belief that a believer has, this hope that a believer has. What is it? He says, he goes, what is it, the believer? Yes, who? ثُمَّ يَرْجِعْ. Like the horse, يَجُولُ ثُمَّ يَرْجِعْ فِي آخِيَتِهِ. يَجُولُ ثُمَّ يَرْجِعْ. What does the horse do? It will go as far as it can. But it has to return to where it's been fastened. It has to return. Similarly, the condition of a believer. You will sin. You will sin, and when you sin, you go far away from Allah. But the moment you understand, and the moment you plead guilty, that, oh Allah, I am guilty, you come back to Allah. Yarji. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the correct understanding.